The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. 'Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I sat down to write this sermon on Thursday morning, which for those of you in our virtual space who are non-Alaskans, it's important to tell you that we woke up to a dumping of snow, right? And anxious road reports telling you not to travel at any cost. School was canceled around Kenai Soldotna, which is rare. How often does that happen here? Once in a blue moon, right? Like very, very rarely. But it was canceled all day, not even a delay. They were just like, done, we're not doing it. And we heard how bad the roads were all the way to Anchorage and then still are pretty bad in Anchorage. I heard one estimate of 9 inches, but probably folks out in Nikiski got even more than that. I mean, I'm sure there was a wide range. I think, what did they say in Anchorage? Like 20 inches or something? 24. I mean, it's probably the fish gets bigger and bigger, right? The more we tell the story. But we got a lot of snow on Thursday morning, needless to say. Now, I consider myself a fairly aware person. I generally have extras or backups if something happens. I'm always ready to help someone or be a support in a situation. I keep chapstick in my car door handle, right? So if I need chapstick, I keep my little teeth flossers right there, so I'm ready to go. The best oral hygiene when I'm driving, right? My dentist is pretty proud of me now that I've done that, right? I have a few trash bags in the back of my car now, having done several youth trips, and you never know what's going to happen that you suddenly need a trash bag for. They're multi-purpose, I swear. And then I'll have shelf-stable snacks in my glove box, you know, little things here and there tucked in. I even have a car Bible just for any situation, right? Like, I am prepared. But with Thursday's snowfall, I realized that I hadn't yet upgraded my winter car kit. Now, I usually make sure I have certain necessities before I drive to Anchorage or even Homer, but I don't have the standard all the time stuff in the car. Now, what's in your car stash, right? What do you keep ready for the winter? A shovel?
Blanket?
Jumper cables? A light? Is that what you said? Sand, boots, hats and gloves. Was that a scraper or what was that? Yeah. This sort of winter gear, right? In case something happens, if you're going to get stuck, something like that. It's practical and safe, right? Nobody said you were going to have, you know, like 200 gallons of milk, right? It's not really practical if you get stuck in a winter storm. I mean, maybe it is, but that's a lot of milk. It's being prepared for what the possibility is to come. And it's a standard of living in Alaska that we know winter is coming, right? We know it's going to happen for now, right? And it sometimes leaves us with 9 inches of snow in one night and power outages across the peninsula for hours and hours on end. But what do you all have in your tornado shelters? Why are you all laughing? You don't have tornado shelters at your house? All right, well, do you have your crawl space at least cleared out that if a tornado comes, you have somewhere to go? All right. Okay, so who's got a snake bite kit at their house? You know, they're really poisonous snakes. No? You don't have a snake bite kit? All right, well, do you have sheets of plywood ready to nail to your window for when the hurricanes come? No, this is not a prepared bunch of people, y'all. Why not? We don't need them, right? We don't have those things in Alaska, and so we don't prepare for them. We don't anticipate them. Now, if you're an anxious person, you may have emergency plans for every possible situation should these things happen. I have a certain family member who had not one, but two zombie apocalypse plans listed on her wedding website should the need arise for her guests to evacuate promptly. I won't tell you which family member it is, but some of you probably have your guesses. But we prepare for the things that we expect, right? There is a very small chance that you're going to need to board up your windows for a hurricane in Kenai Soldotna. And if you do, if we're anticipating a hurricane, windows are your least concern, right? Many things have already happened to that before that moment that boarding up the windows is not a concern to us. But there is a much higher chance of getting stuck on the road whenever it's snowing out, or seeing someone else get stuck that you can get out and help shovel them out or put those track mats down or throw some sand, right? Or that we'll be driving somewhere and get stuck behind an accident and have to sit for a long time. So having a full tank of gas is wise before we head out on these trips. Now, in a few weeks, we'll enter into our season of Advent, a time in our church year where we talk about the anticipating or waiting for Christ in our lives, Christ's child to be born. Today's gospel feels very Advent-y, talking about the bridesmaids who need to be prepared to wait for the bridegroom to appear, and they do not know the hour that the bridegroom is going to come. And those who are not prepared will be locked out of the wedding party. Now, as a highly anxious person, my brain wants to know why they didn't have backup fuel ready, right? They didn't have the backup lamp oil. But what it did is it made me think about what we expect versus what we are waiting for. Waiting for the possibility of something to happen, like a hurricane or a snake bite or zombie apocalypse, at least in Alaska for now, can have our brains in hyperdrive, trying to prepare for the widest spans of the unknown. There are literally infinite possibilities when you start to do that sort of that disaster preparation mind. On the contrary, we can expect something, like a winter storm in Alaska. And it means that we prepare differently. We know that we can be thoughtful about our anticipation because we know that the thing we are waiting on is going to happen. We just don't know when, right? We will get snow. We will probably have power outages. It's becoming a kind of a standard with the snow wait, right? And while I hate the dichotomy between the foolish and the wise bridesmaids, I wonder if instead of being foolish, these folks were prepared for different things. They were waiting for the bridegroom, but they weren't expecting the bridegroom to come later than they had planned. I wonder then if the wise bridesmaids were the ones who were expecting the delay, knowing that this particular bridegroom was probably going to take time to talk to every person they passed on the journey to the place where they were going. Or that this bridegroom was going to be at the party, but needed the bridesmaids to gather together in community first. I wonder if when the bridegroom said, "Keep awake, for you do not know the hour," that the bridegroom was inviting the bridesmaids into a space of expectation rather than waiting. Keep awake, expect what is to come, but you don't know when it will happen. How are we expecting Christ to show up in our lives? For God Emmanuel, for God with us in our daily lives? What are we putting in our glove box or our car door or our trunk? Are we waiting for the unknown or preparing for the expected? Then who we are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Paul reminded the Thessalonians of the promise of the resurrection with Jesus Christ, that earthly death will not win, but we will be united with Christ again. Paul says, expect it. It's going to happen. It's not an unknown waiting, but an expected anticipation. just like snow in winter in Alaska. Paul says, encourage one another. Come together as a community, not just as individuals hoarding as much lamp oil as they can to be the best possible lamp holder, right? But to be bridesmaids who expect to be reunited with Christ in a bizarre, powerful, and divine way. And if we are expecting this, what might we pack in our to-go kit? What might be the oil that keeps our lives burning today as we wait for the expected Christ? What are those things? There are no wrong answers. Oh, we're nervous now. You're like, what? Repeat the question. All right. If we are expecting Christ, right? If we're expecting Christ in our lives, what might we pack in our to-go kit? What might be the oil that keeps the lamp burning as we're waiting? So for me, I think about like offering grace, right? There are hard conversations that we have around the world right now, and it's like I'm trying really hard to use grace when I hear somebody who thinks differently than I do, right? What are other ways that we can be people who are expecting Christ to come into our lives, but what can we offer? What can we show? What can we be? Be kind? Compassionate?
Open ears.
Open ears, yep. Love, right? Mercy.
Faith.
Understanding, right? So these are ways of being, right? And that list is really hard some days, right? It's really hard to have that for one another, especially when you're looking at those traffic reports and thinking about those DOT drivers, or you're thinking about that conversation about brining or not brining, right? That it's hard sometimes to have these things in our toolbox for those who we encounter while waiting for Christ to return. And we do not know the hour or the day, but we do know that we can expect to be waiting in this unknown time. And while we gather in the hallways with the other bridesmaids, how we prepare ourselves, how we work together, how we anticipate the unknown is the oil that will keep the lamps burning. It's the ways in which we show up for one another, both physically and emotionally, by sharing who we are and receiving the other with grace. Last week, you heard three stories of saints who have gone before us by some powerful witnesses who shared God's love in their lives. There were tears shed from this place and by those of us in these seats. We hung the names of saints who have gone before us on these trees, and that's why we're leaving them up, to be the cloud of witnesses still with us. Some of those deaths were expected, and some were unexpected, and perhaps both at the same time. We held each other in prayer as we reflect on where we have been in our lives and where God has yet to reveal the new life to us this day and the days ahead. And today, following our service, we'll gather for our annual meeting, the time where we reflect on where we have been over the last year and where we'd like to be in the coming year. How do we want to spend our offering money? How do we want to invite others into leadership? How do we want to make decisions and function as a group of people? Some of us get kind of anxious around annual meeting time, just wanting to get it done and over with. Like, please don't keep us here that long, Pastor Meredith. Please just get me out the door, right? But I wonder if instead we can be like the bridesmaids who were expecting Christ to come, not just waiting in the unknown, but expecting. And so with our offering dollars, our ministry energy, and our very life stories, like the saints who have gone before us, we help write the story of where we expect to encounter Christ in the coming year. How are we expecting to anticipate Christ in the midst of ourselves this year? How are we hoping? How are we waiting? Where will we see Christ? Thanks be to God. Amen.